Bradley's brilliant, brilliant gimmick is to tell the Arthurian story from the point of view of the women rather than the men. Now, it's amazing to think that this had never been done before the late 80s when Bradley did it, but it hadn't. No one had thought to tell the story of Guinevere or Morgan or Morgause or Morgana or any of these characters from their own point of view. The closest you might get is Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem The Princess, which at least is from a female point of view and kind of touches on some of this medieval and quasi-medieval material. But even The Princess doesn't really get into the Arthurian materials the way that Bradley does. Bradley's work was consistent with emerging feminism that was coming through in academia, popular culture, and just about everywhere else in the late 1980s. And it was also consistent with a desire by a lot of writers to try to have some new take on Arthurian material, whatever that take was. People seemed to have gotten tired of jousts and fights with giants and either wanted to go into a psychological view or, like Mary Stuart, into a historical view. And Bradley plays both of these, both psychological and historical. Now, Bradley was influenced very strongly by The Chalice and the Blade, which is a quasi-historical, kind of quasi-theoretical feminist book that argues that there was a pre-Christian, usually described as Celtic, but oftentimes even Bronze Age or Neolithic, matriarchal civilization in Europe, usually represented by some of those strange little pregnant figurines that you always see in art history books. Anyway, that this civilization, this pre-Christian matriarchy, had dominated Europe, but it had been destroyed when Christianity took over. Now, as a literary historian myself, I have to say that, sadly, there's really not a lot of good evidence, and it's much more wishful thinking than it is accurate, though we do have those figurines, and there are certainly possibilities of lost matriarchal civilizations, but we really don't have particularly much evidence there. But Bradley takes that idea and runs with it, and comes up with the idea that the pre-Christian Druids in England were a matriarchal religion that was in touch with earth magic. They're kind of like pre-Christian greens. They love the earth. They have earth power. They have visions and fit into shamanism, the kind of thing that Holdstock does a little bit also. And the focus of the power of these pre-Christian nature-worshipping druids is the Holy Isle of Avalon. So we have goddess and nature worship, shamanism and magic, and also Bradley connects this up with the kind of historical background of who were these women with Welsh names who kept marrying into these important English families? Where did they come from? And how could she connect it all? Well, they come from the family of Avalon. And Arthur is a child of Avalon in some ways. He should have been a priest of Avalon, except that from his father, he also becomes the King of England.